Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. Today, we are joined by a singer-songwriter who has been involved in several genres of music. Currently, it's rock and roll music, but he's also been involved with country music and worked with Travis Tritt and written songs for other artists as well. Tennessee Mountaintop for Kid Rock's album. So you've written a lot of country songs. You've written rock songs. You work with ZZ Top, Billy Gibbons. So where's your lane? Tim Montana's our guest. Where's your most comfortable zone?
I like the edgy stuff, you know. Thanks for having me, first of all. Even the country artists that record my songs kind of lean Travis Tritt's pretty rock country, you know. I mean, he's kind of an outlaw coming up, so I like that little outlaw space. Grew up in remote Montana, so that stuff's close to me. And now we're having a ton of success with rock and roll, because growing up in Montana, I was very close to Seattle and listened to a ton of grunge music growing up. So that's always been ingrained in me. Mm-hmm. And I was the weird kid that worked on an off-grid ranch that wore Carhartt pants and a Nirvana shirt to school every day. So I was like the ranch and grunge kid.
That's funny. That's a funny combination. I'm like you. I'm also sharing the name of a place. You know, Larry London, but your real last name is Montana, in fact.
Yeah, correct. My daughter Savannah absolutely hates it because she's like, "Thanks, Dad. I no longer have a first name. I just have a first and last name."
Yeah, Savannah Montana. Yeah exactly.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, well, you were cruel. That was not nice.
That was pretty
bad.
So she deserves it.
You grew up in a town of 44 people.
I grew up in a smaller area than that. I now live in a town of 44 called Wise River, Montana. I grew up north of Butte, Montana, in a little ranch community called Elk Park. And all we have is a volunteer fire department, and that's it. And gosh, there's maybe 20 families up there. And we were completely off the grid, no television until I got later in life. So I never really got into sports. So when people talk sports to me, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. My sports choice were splitting wood and riding a snowmobile. And we had a single wide trailer, an outhouse out back, and digging an outhouse hole in the Rocky Mountains. I've done it twice as a child. It was very, very hard.
Yeah, and so you grew up in actually a trailer home. So what was that like? I mean, was it parked in one place for your whole childhood, or did you move around because it's mobile?
No, it always had axles on it down in the foundation, but it stayed in one spot. And you know, you don't really know you're poor until you grow up. And then you're like, oh, wow, microwaves are cool. Electricity's cool. Wow, having more than a single hallway to walk down, you share with your mom and stepdad is nice. You know, yeah. You don't know what you got, you know, until you grow up and get a little bit more. And then you're like, oh, wow. You know, so I didn't know I was poor until I grew up.
Yeah, you don't know what you're missing because that was just the way life was. But you grew up in an area that probably didn't have a police department. And may not have even had a post office or a street light.
No, none of those things. So, yeah, we had a little postal box where you could put stuff in, but that was about it. And a volunteer fire department, shout out to all the Elk Park volunteers. I used to volunteer when I was younger and had time to do so. Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
What got you into music, Tim Montana?
The lack of television, phones, and lights. When we went off grid when I was six, I was given an acoustic guitar. And the rest of history, I'd light a lantern in my bedroom and I'd learn to play guitar by ear. And I'd listen to ZZ Top and Creedence Clearwater Revival and Guns N' Roses and Waylon Jennings and Charlie Daniels. And, you know, and then as I grew up, I got to meet, you know, so far most of my heroes. And it was pretty wild coming from the mountains, Montana, off grid, and then growing up and going out and connecting these dots. You know, it's been pretty wild ride. So
that's fantastic. That's a great story and a great climb to the top. We're going to get more into the details as we go, but we'd like to hear a song. What are you going to do for us first?
Let's start with my first top five Billboard hit. It only took me, overnight success plus 17 and a half years of being in Nashville, but Devil You Know came out right when I was moving back to Montana. I kind of thought everything, my radio dreams were over for me. And as soon as I moved to Montana and turned in this hard rock song, if you will, it blew up and went 3 weeks top five on the Billboard charts. Called
That's
Devil
great.
You Know.
Devil You Know. Here's Tim Montana on Border Crossings.
So devil you know, devil you don't.
Border Crossings, Tim Montana. The song is Devil You Know. 17 years in the making, but he became an overnight success when that song was in the top five. So congratulations on that success. That's not your only success. You know, you've sold quite a few records. You've got quite a big following of fans. And so you're in the rock genre now. You've gotten away from country, or do
they accepted me, and I like the rock genre, man. They just accepted me, and you know, I kind of felt like an alien in Nashville because my hair was too long, my beard was too long, I cussed too much, my amp was too loud, and now they're like, "Come on in, the water's fine." So now I can be a wild man. My mom is not stoked, but I am.
You are stoked. Now, you touched on things earlier about, you know, growing up in a trailer home, small town, whatnot. I understand that you also were traumatized when your father passed, and that set you back.
Yeah, I kind of have a made-for-lifetime movie out of my life. You know, my dad abducted me when I was five and then got arrested, and that was the last time I saw him. And then he ended up dying a pretty young death. And then I had a stepdad that was abusive to me and my mother. So, you know, one of those stories, I watched these Johnny Cash documentaries and I'm like, oh, I get it.
I lived it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately, that makes for good songwriting. And, you know, it doesn't define me, but it's in my DNA. And I write about that stuff a lot in my music. And I hope to not bring people down, but maybe to inspire people that have gone through traumatic, life-changing events. And, you know, hopefully empower them to wake up and keep climbing and keep going forward and clawing and fighting. And, you know, again, don't let things like that define you. Let them be a part of you, but don't let them define you.
I was going to ask you, you know, if you have a secret. Because, you know, to pull yourself out of a dark place is not an easy task. A lot of people watching right now, a lot of people tuned in, and your fans may also be going through some tough times. And what was it that got you through?
I think music saved my life 100%. You know, there were some depressing teenage years where thought I hit rock bottom. And, you know, so like a lot of kids, you know, teenage years are tough. And especially if you're in an abusive home. And I had a guitar and I had songs to help, you know, kind of therapy for me. And I find that's still kind of the way. If I'm bummed out or my day's not going so good, I'll grab a guitar, I'll get on stage, and I kind of forget about that for a while, and the fans do as well. So it's therapy to me, it's therapy to them. Hey, group therapy, let's go.
Now, so the songs are sad songs, or the sad songs are a mix?
It's a mix. You know, I've got some fun stuff. I've got, you know, back in my catalog, Hillbilly Rich, and then, you know, but with Devil You Know, if you watch the music video, I actually had my son portray me in a child abuse scene I went through where my guitar was broke in my room. My wife called and she's like, hey, our son is absolutely freaked out right now that he had to relive that scene. And she's like, just because you need therapy doesn't mean our kids are going to need therapy, okay? And I'm like, hey, it's filmmaking. It's a music video.
That's it. It's showbiz. It's acting.
Yeah.
Are your kids into music? Are they instrumental players?
Yes. Savannah Montana totally is. And I'm like, oh, no, she has the curse because her grades are getting better. But it was like when I was a kid, I did the bare minimum to get by because I was a creative brain. And when the teacher's teaching me about English and stuff, I'm there writing song lyrics and thinking about being on the stage when I grow up. My brain was anywhere but school. And so my daughter, Savannah, now she hears a song and then she immediately can play it on the piano and she has like perfect pitch. And I'm like, well, you didn't get that from me because I definitely don't have perfect pitch. I'm a pretty good singer, but wow, she's really good. So it's going to be interesting to see what she does with her gifts. So
any interest or thought about collaborating with her, singing a song with her, doing a duet?
Absolutely. If she'd grow a little courage, you know, she's one of those, even with me, when I walk in the bedroom, she dials it back and doesn't want to sing, you know, fully perform in front of her dad.
Right.
But she came out. I brought her to Welcome to Rockville, a big rock festival I played. And I'm very fortunate to become friends with the Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl. And so she's got to meet Dave a couple times now and see him play live. And I think when she saw 200,000 people in that crowd in Daytona, Florida, she came home and just went up in her room. And I just heard guitar. Then I'd hear piano. Then I'd hear guitar. Then I'd hear piano. And I was like, she saw what could happen out there.
And she's a songwriter too.
Yes.
So she picked that up from you.
Yeah. You know, I think songwriting is something you're born with or you're not. I heard that from a Country Music Hall of Fame songwriter. He said that's a gift from God. He's like, you can learn to play guitar, you can learn to play piano. Very few people can learn to write a song. You either have it or you don't. And that kind of stuck with me, and she definitely has it. So,
Have you ever gone back and looked at the stuff you wrote when you were in high school, the songs you wrote at that time?
Yeah, and so did my daughter, and she's like, Dad, this is the cheesiest, baddest girl stuff. I'm like, there's a hot girl in my class, and she doesn't want nothing to do with poor white trash.
That is funny. That's great.
Oh, yeah, the journals are hilarious.
So if somebody said to you, Tim, you can only do singing or songwriting, one or the other, what would you pick?
Gosh, I don't know. That's a tough one because I like performing the most. I love being on stage. I don't know. Just the live performance is it for me, you know? And I'm always writing songs and ideas. That's a tough one. I don't even know if I can answer that. Because I love live performing. So I guess live performing is the answer. I know that wasn't in the question. But
no,
like
that was that you have to sing to perform. So
right,
song,
right.
If you sat there and wrote a song on stage, I don't think that's, you know, performing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's great. Now, you say, you know, you've done big festivals with 50,000 people and you've done smaller venues as well with 300. Do you have a preference? Do you like to connect with the intimate, smaller crowd, or is the big crowd fine, or you like them both the same?
I like them both, but gosh, we go on a couple of years ago, we went to Alaska and played some of these small, very small towns, very small bars. And that was really cool because they appreciate it. They really appreciate the fact that you've traveled that far. And even if there's 50 people there, they put out this energy that's like, wow, you came here to play this for us. And that's a pretty special feeling. And now living back in Montana, I own a bar right down the road about with Billy Gibbons, the Wise River Club, and playing in there too. People just appreciate that live instrument. So again, I love both of them. The huge festivals, I like playing in front of people that have never heard me because there's that challenge of winning them over. And it'll be the first song or two, their arms are folded. Who's this guy? By song two or three, their arms are down. By song four, their hands are in the air. And I'm like, yeah, got them. So
well, it's, you know, I'm sure that you have a lot of fun, whatever it is you're doing, wherever you're doing it. And so as far as touring goes, are you on tour right now? Are you planning to go on tour?
Yeah, I have two shows this week. They're all in Montana, which I'm excited. We're playing Butte, Montana, and then Northern Montana on the Canadian border. And then we go on tour. This is like my dream tour. I'm touring with Bush, Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains, the Candlebox.
Wow.
And I'm like, did you guys like take a time machine and find my Napster ripped CDs from when I was 14? Because you're all on there.
Right. Gavin Rossdale with Bush. Is he still with him?
Yep. Gavin Rossdale. And
wow.
Yeah, Jerry Cantrell, as a lot of people know. I mean, that guy's a big military supporter as well with his song Rooster that he put out in the 90s about his dad's service, being a sniper in Vietnam. And Candlebox is great too. All of those guys, I'm huge fans of them. So,
well, you're rubbing elbows with all the biggies. You're up there too to hang out with Dave Grohl, you know, and to call Billy Gibbons your friends, you know, and own a business with him.
Yeah, we own a couple businesses together. He's more like my rock and roll dad at this point. And anytime we go in the room together, people see the beards and they're always like, "Hey, can I ask your dad for a picture?" And at this point, Billy and I are like, well, just roll with it. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Now, it was interesting because I guess there were two guys in ZZ Top named Beard.
Frank Beard. Two guys
Frank
had beards. Dusty Hill, who passed away, and Billy Gibbons had the beards. And then the other one that didn't have the beard, his last name is Beard.
Yeah, exactly. That's the story. That's
yeah.
Tim Montana is our guest here on Border Crossings. And do you have a new album?
Yeah, the album will be out July 12th. So it's called
Savage. And
what's
it called?
Savage. And it's my rock and roll debut full length. And I'm so excited about it. It hits really hard. And it's a lyrical journey of what I've been through in my life. And yeah, so I hope people enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. How about other types of music? Is there anything else that you'd like to do? A Christmas album or something like that?
I do love Christmas music. I'm glad you brought that up because I start playing it way too early. You know, there's a Burl Ives
favorite. Holly Jolly Christmas or something.
Oh my God, that guy's voice is so good. And then he did like a lot of movies back in the day. And I've started doing some movies. I just wrapped my fourth film here in Montana and I'm not an actor, but I keep getting casted. So I just roll with it.
Wow. What roles do you play? What are they casting you? as?
So far, I've done 3 Westerns, and the last one is not even out yet. It'll be out in the fall, and it's called Unholy Trinity. And I didn't even know who was in the movie, and I showed up to set, and my scene was with Samuel L. Jackson. And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
I got to do a scene with Sam. He was a very sweet guy. Pierce Brosnan's in the film. And then I was up in Montana working at the bar, and some actor friends came up and they said, hey man, we need a long haired rocker dude from Butte to drive a Trans Am named Heath. And you have a little bit of an acting thing going on. And I'm like, oh my God, why do I keep getting cast in these films? So then I showed up to set and I filmed for 3 days and I wrapped that project. That's going to be called There, There by the Polish brothers. And so, yeah. So, and then I did, like I said, Unholy Trinity, Murder at Yellowstone City that had Richard Dreyfuss. And then the first one I did was, The Last Son of Isaac LeMay. And that was Sam Worthington, Heather Graham, Thomas Jane, Machine Gun Kelly. So I just keep walking onto these movie sets and I play a good cowboy in the Old West with my appearance. And a lot of these films they kill me in. And the last one they didn't. And I was kind of bummed. I was like, guys, no one murders me.
That's it. You do dying well.
Yeah, I die well in the Old West.
That's it, the Old Wild West. Well, you're living in God's country. I mean, you're living in a beautiful, beautiful place. You know, Montana's, you know, mountains and valleys, and it's an absolutely gorgeous place.
Yeah, man, getting back here, my spirit, my soul is here, and right behind me is the Big Hole River, and 30 miles upriver from here is where the Nez Perce fought the cavalry back in the 1800s, and just being connected back to this land, you know, I'm a third generation Montanan, is special, and I grew up, like I said, off the grid up here, running and playing with the elk and grizzly bears, and Nashville kind of burned me out, and the city started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I was like, man, I don't feel at home when I'm home, and now getting to raise my kids in a version of how I was raised, better version, thank God, they get to see this place, and it's special to me. So
that's wonderful. What's been the highlight for your career so far?
Gosh, that's a tough one. One of the biggies was working with Billy Gibbons, and we wrote that song, "This Beard Came Here to Party," and shortly thereafter, he invited me to play the Ryman Auditorium, the original Grand Old Opry House.
Wow.
In Nashville. And I bawled my eyes out when he asked me to do that. And then a couple of years ago, we played something that was for the military as well. It was honoring Billy Gibbons. And we played the actual Grand Old Opry stage. So twice my friend Billy Gibbons has snuck me on the Opry. I've never been invited, but I've snuck in the old Opry and I snuck in the new Opry. And that one we did a jam at the end with Eric Church and Travis Tritt and Jimmy Vaughn. And
wow,
it was just wild getting to be on stage. And I've played LaGrange with Billy now countless times. And, and now he has me rap during LaGrange because I figured out a version of California Love by Tupac mixed with ZZ Top LaGrange. So that's my new bit I do with him. And it's pretty funny when we do that. So
that's amazing to mix those two together.
Yeah, who knew, right?
Yeah, who knew the Tupac and ZZ Top would work on a song together or end up on a song together?
ZZ Pac.
I like it.
We recorded that on an EP called Reno, and Billy played on it. We couldn't mix the songs because there's legal rules and copyright rules about mixing them. So we just recorded California Love, and we had Matt Sorum, a former member of Guns N' Roses, on the drums. Billy Gibbons on guitar, and it's really cool. So if you guys want to check that out, it's my Montana version of a classic hip hop song.
Tim Montana is talking with us today, and his new album is called Savage. And so, Tim, what are you going to do for us next?
Well, we got to play the title track. This one's burning up the American radio charts right now, and hopefully spreads around the world. And kind of talks about the apocalypse and, you know, looking around, you're kind of like, everything is pretty savage. And so I got to play you guys the title track off the record. This one is called Savage.
All right. Savage. Here's Tim Montana on Border Crossings.
Society. Can't tame my blood, ain't cold. It's so fine.
Border Crossings, Tim Montana. That song is called Savage. And a lot of songs come from very painful places. And you talked earlier about the fact they're therapeutic when you're writing them and when you're singing them, because the audience doesn't know, unless you tell them, where the stories came from.
Yeah. They think it's like a relationship song. But again, it could be for you, but for me, it was those kind of feelings. Fortunately, I've had a great relationship and been married for 17 years and have four beautiful kids. But So I just kind of draw from these past life experiences and write about them. So
that's great. That's great. Congratulations on a great family and a great career and a great life. And you've definitely got a great path that you've been following. I think it's a big gutsy move to go from one format where you've got very solid roots and established to go to something totally different. That takes, for a music person, for an artist like yourself, that's kind of, do I do this? Because I don't know that the country fans are going to follow me over to the rock sound or vice versa. So,
yeah, that was a big step. But, I look at it as they never fully accepted me in the country market because I was always the country rock guy, the outlaw country guy. And I was always going heavier and heavier with the music. And they're like, dude, you need to like dial it back. And I'm like, I just can't write lyrics about truck beds and cornfields. That's not how I grew up. My version of country is very different, right? 60 Below is pretty savage in remote Montana in a trailer house. And so getting to step into this rock world and getting accepted so quick has been a blessing, to say the least. And I'm just going to keep headbanging my way through it. My back might hurt, but you know what? The people need to be rocked. They just
They need to be rocked. And Tim Montana is the guy to do it. Now, let me ask you this. You have a strong connection to the military, to the troops. Absolutely. Tell me about your relationship with the military.
Yeah. I've always been friends with military people, and I think that comes from childhood. I had a lot of recruiters when I was 17 coming to my house, and my mom, I drove her nuts because I wanted her to sign the early paperwork, and then she kept pushing me to go to music school. And music school was probably 2002, 2003, and I was like, all right, Mom, I'm either going military or music school, and I got accepted to music school, and she was like, thank God, blah, 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 and I think there's like a little bit of guilt that I didn't serve, but then later on in life, I met a guy named Wayne Kyle, Chris Kyle's dad, and I designed a guitar with Gibson that sold for $113,000 online. And I was able to hand Mr. Kyle a check for veterans of PTSD for $113,000. And he's like, hey, man, you probably changed somebody's life with that amount of money. And he goes, remember, if you didn't serve, it's our duty to serve those that have served us. And that struck a chord with me. And I was in my 20s when I was able to hand that check over. And I just got kind of that sunk in so deep into my soul of like, okay, I don't need to feel guilty about not serving. I can sit here and take care of the men and women that, do what they do so that we can enjoy our freedom. So then we started the American Thread Sporting Clay Shoot, because I'm terrible at sports and most people do golf tournaments. And I'm like, I'm not a golfer, but I know how to shoot a shotgun real well. And so we started this, and in 4 years, we've raised $1.1 million.
Wow. And, bless your heart.
Yeah, and Fort Campbell has like officially got involved with us. So they'll fly helicopters down from a military base to Nashville and land them in the fields. And a bunch of guys from 5th Group Special Forces come down. And I just get to hang out with these guys and raising that kind of money. And then all my rock star friends have showed up. Everybody from Aaron Lewis to Kobe Calais, Michael Ray, Daryl Worley, Collective Soul. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of people. Tyler Farr and even Charlie Sheen came out 1 year to support, and it started just getting bigger and bigger. And we have no idea what we're doing, but we know we're all volunteer, and that is the best part. And I know a lot of these charity groups take some money because they have overhead to pay, but I'm like, I wanted to find guys that have other jobs, and we can donate 100% of our dollars raised right back to the vet community. And we've even provided 8 scholarships for kids that lost their one of their parents overseas in combat. We put 8 kids in through college. And so it's something I'm like really into. And even this 4th of July, I had plans of staying at home. Can you hear me there? Sorry.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. So on the 4th of July, I had plans of being off the road and sitting in Wise River. And I got to meet a guy from 160th SOAR. And unfortunately, his helicopter crashed in the Mediterranean in November. And his wife messaged me and said, hey, is there any chance, I don't know if we could afford your band, but could you come play this house? He always had a 4th of July party. And the minute I read that message, I was like, yes, you can afford me because I'm not going to charge you a dime. And there goes my 4th of July plans, because there's a bigger plan for me now to go out there and hang out. So now I just got a text yesterday that 70 guys from base will be coming down, a bunch of 160 Azor pilots, and his kids will be there, and just getting to honor Shane and his service. And it's just, I'm about to tear up talking about it.
Yeah. Well, that's, I understand how why you'd get emotional, because I think our military, our vets, they haven't been given the respect that they're due in a lot of regards. You know, the veterans' hospitals aren't very good, and medical care and things like that. But our prayers and thoughts go out to all of those who have served or are serving in the line of duty and making the ultimate sacrifice in many cases. But it's great to have you on the show. I think we have time for one more song. Is this your third song?
Yes, sir. And this one I'd like to dedicate to everyone that serves. I had this title for a long time called Die Today, and I kept trying to write it. And I'm like, I don't need a suicide song. I don't need a depressing song. What is this idea? And as I was writing it, a friend texted me that served with the British SAS. And he just said, how are you doing today, mate? And I always read his text in his British accent. He served along with American troops, obviously. And he did a heroic act in 2019 in Nairobi, Africa, where there was a hotel under siege. And he went in by himself and took out all the terrorists and saved countless lives. And I thought about that act of courage going in alone. And the idea all of a sudden went from Die Today is not a suicide song. It's quite the opposite. It's a song about those who put their lives aside to save a stranger's life. And this guy ran into gunfire, not knowing how many insurgents were in this hotel, took care of business and saved countless lives. So I wanted this to connect with anybody that's willing to run into gunfire, or even first responders, paramedics, police officers, anyone that's willing to put their lives aside to save a stranger. This song is for you. It's called Die Today.
Die Today on Border Crossings. Border Crossings, and that is Die Today. Tim Montana, the songwriter, the singer, he's with us from his home in, I guess you're in an area called Wise River, Montana now.
Yep. The bustling population of 44.
With a total of 44 residents. You don't have to worry about neighbors gossiping and causing too much problem because I guess you got miles and miles between you.
So. Yeah, well, there's targets behind me. They'll all start shooting across the river here in a minute.
So what happens next? I mean, the album Savage is out. And so tell me, how many albums have you had altogether?
Gosh, I don't know. I started putting records out. I put my first little EP out when I was 14. That's not on the internet because it's horrible. But professionally, I think in 2007, I dropped my first album that got the attention of David Letterman, and I did The Late Show at such an early point in my career. But I think we're at 6 or 7, you know, most of which have been independent records. So, yeah.
Well, that's great. You've had a great career, and it's not over. You're just getting going. You know, Savage is a whole new area to conquer for you. So that's exciting stuff that you're going to be rocking and rolling. Is this going to be, there's going to be more rock albums, you think, or is...
I think so. That's what I've been writing lately, and I can express myself better. I've always liked loud, obnoxious guitars, and I've liked screaming into the microphone, and I'm like, yeah, I've never been a guy that's like, hey, y'all, check this out.
Yeah. So you're a metalhead? Is that...
No, I wouldn't say I'm metal. I'm more hard rock. You know, I grew up, okay, like I said, Nirvana, Staines, you know, Bush, Alice in Chains was huge. I like some Metallica, Foo Fighters. I mean, that was kind of my thing. And then I like my Waylon Jennings. I was a massive Waylon fan. But, you know, I don't think Waylon was contemporary country for quite a while until he changed the rules, you know. So
where can people go if they want to find out more information about you, your tour schedule, your album, if they want to get the album? Savage.
Yeah, just Tim Montana on all the streaming platforms, timmontana.com online, at Tim Montana on Instagram, Facebook, and I run all my own stuff. So if you see this out there, shoot me a message. And I love sending veterans a little care package. Now, don't hit me with a million care packages, but I'll try to do it. I just put my foot in my mouth. I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna have to a million hats out.
Well, your social media sites are about to blow up, but I thank you so much for joining us on the show, and congratulations on the new album and you're touring and doing shows right now in Montana, but I assume you go out of Montana at some point. And have you done much international touring?
I've done Canada, but man, I really want to go play for the troops. Like, that has been on my bucket list for years. So
USO.
I hope to come to a military base soon, anywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. We do Fort Campbell quite a bit, but I want to go overseas and play over there. So
Any message you want to send out before we go to the troops, or to the, because we have a worldwide audience of millions and in 100 different countries, so is there, you know, what's your final message you'd like to send?
Just thank you guys for fighting for our freedoms. You know, it doesn't get it's not taken for granted by me and my group, and a lot of people out there cheering you on. And stay safe, and just be good to one another.
Thank you, Tim Montana. Appreciate you joining us today. The album is called Savage. My name is Larry London, and you are watching Border Crossings on VOA TV.